Krishna tells Gopakumar, I was waiting for you for so long. He said, and Gopakumar said, Krishna turned and said, how could you live without me for so long? And, but when you took this birth, I knew in this lifetime you would come to me. I was, what's the word? Restless with anticipation, so eager. And Gopakumar told that, really, if we look at the Brihad Bhagavatamritam of Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, it's divided in two sections, but they reach the same conclusion. Narada, it's a gradation. He's the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya, showing what all the different levels are. Sometimes Guru Maharaj will say in Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami leapt from Vaikuntha to Mathura in a single bound. Vaikunthaj Janidopara Bara Madhupuri. Because in that sense, I'm just saying what Guru Maharaj said, he passed Ayodhya, he went straight from Vaikuntha to Mathura. Because why? Birth pastimes. No birth pastimes in Vaikuntha. No, what did Guru Maharaj say? No youngsters there. And the youngsters in Vaikuntha. So, because we've heard about Krishna pushing the two extra arms to play a joke on the Braja Gopis. But in relation to the Balaji deity, some other type of stories where Vishnu trying to conceal two arms. But even in the Gopakumar story, when he reaches from, the Shalagram worshipping Brahmins, to South India, to Puri, to Indraloka, to Brahmaloka, Shivaloka, and on to Vaikuntha proper. At one stage, because when he's entered Vaikuntha, when he sees Narayan and all of his grandeur, majestic aspect of divinity, Aishwarya, he cries out, hey, Gopal! And people go like, shh! And I'm like, that's not how you address the Lord. You know, like, he's, I think of the Thai word, but I don't even know if I can say that. Let's just say he's from the country. Country folk. Country folk means Vrindavan. That's a Prakriti Leela of Krishna, who appear to be the most unsophisticated. They're super sophisticated. Who appear to be the least knowledgeable, no more than anyone else. That's the peculiarity of Krishna Leela. Guru Maharaj, again, I'm just quoting Guru Maharaj saying, but referring to Braja Gopi, he said, half-civilized, and I'll use the word, silly jungle girls. He used another word, but half-civilized, silly jungle girls, posing that way. But when we hear their dialogue and their wordplay, we see how they're masters of Sanskrit language and double meaning and innuendo. And like the person I met here who personified and exemplified that was Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. This delightful repartee, wordplay that's at once amusing but profoundly, it has a profound aspect to it in terms of spiritual implications. But so they're telling him that, they're saying, oh, he doesn't know, he doesn't dress properly, he doesn't address the Lord properly, saying, hey, Gopal, to Vaikuntha Narayan. But Narayan, he wants to, the Lord, please, Bhakta Vatsala, please his devotees, and tells at one point, Lakshmi, you become Radha, and I'll be Krishna, and that'll make him happy. Just as we hear in the Hanuman story approaching Dwarka, Krishna says first to Satyabhama, you become Sita and I'll be Ram, and that'll please Hanuman. Satyabhama, Bhama Bhav, not agreeable, so told to hide Rukmini. But here a reversal. And we're told that is appreciated by Gopakumar up to a point. You know, close but no sagar. So it's not what he imagines. So he's amused up to a point, but there's something lacking in this portrayal. It doesn't have the sweetness of Vrindavan. So then it's telling us it's something beyond even these forms, apparently. There's some other sweet element there that was lacking, even when they're in Vaikuntha giving a representation of Radha and Krishna. And even after achieving Dwaraka, Narada and Uddhava, they meet at Uddhava's house, and Uddhava's saying in, you know, quiet tones, like, you know, Dwaraka's a wonderful place, don't get me wrong, but you are meant for another place. That I know. And it always culminates, each half, with what comes from the mouth of Uddhava. Because we know when Guru Maharaj met a South Indian Srutadhar, those who can remember everything, they've heard. So he knew the entire Bhagavat Purana. We're told it's 18,000 slokas. So he's like the book Bhagavat, like a Bhagavat book, but maybe not the book Bhagavat that comes out. So Guru Maharaj asked them, with that level of familiarity of the Bhagavatam, who in your estimation are the greatest devotees, the highest devotees of the Bhagavatam? And he answers by saying, Chatushan, the four Kumaras, the sons of Brahma, Sanat, Sananda, who else? Sanatan, and Sanaka, Kumaram, the four Kumaras. And what do you think? And Guru Maharaj said, they're in the lowest position. As we're told, Tasya Aravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda, Kinjal Kamisra Tulasi Makarandavayu Antargata Swavivarena Chakaratesham Sankshobhyam Aksharajusham Api Chitta Tanbo. There are all these testimonials to conversion, you can say. Sukadev saying what happened to him, carried away in the Nirguna plane, but dive deep, the deepest part of reality, by hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Braja Gopis. But Kumaras say, Misra Tulasi Makarandavayu, the mixture of the tulsi and the aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord, that entered their system, and they underwent this inconceivable, wonderful, mysterious transformation. But Guru Maharaj is saying, no, we worship them, but they're in this realm, they're in the lower position. And then with two slokas from the Bhagavatam, Guru Maharaj establishes his position. And it's in line with what is expressed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It talks about the Bharabhyahi and Saragrahi. Bhara means burden. So he's saying a certain amount of Shastric knowledge so many books, as if you're carrying so many books, carrying the weight of so many slokas like a beast of burden. Right? And at the other end, the Saragrahi Vaishnav. Sar meaning the essence, the cream, who grasps the essence, like what? Hangsa, Paramahangsa, told the swan given a mixture of milk and water can extract the milk and leave the water behind. The Paramahansa, in any situation, circumstance, whether you speak of interpreting the Bhagavatam, extract the most essential point. Bhagavatam itself has been described as Shruti Saram, Sara Vedanta Saram Yad, Shruti, the cream of all Shruti. And what does Shruti mean? Of what is to be heard? We hear so many things. Lord, do we hear so many things. On a day, there's so much, what is it? Like, well, you could call it noise, but sensory input, that hearing sound, and it's giving some impression to the heart about what is reality. What is the self? What is reality? What is the world? What is our place in it? But is it a reliable sound? Where does that sound come from? Where is it being broadcast? What is being carried with it? It's like sometimes I would talk to some of the devotees who are going to school, and they're talking about different subjects they're taking. And I would say, you're safer taking the subjects that don't come with a worldview. You know, like you could say mathematics, as an example, doesn't come compacted or infused with a particular worldview. But other things, they do. It's not an objective portrayal, a non-prejudiced representation of what the truth is or reality or your prospect, potential or any such thing. It's infused with a particular worldview, and you have to imbibe that and bow to that to get a stamp of approval. We used to speak at classes sometimes, and I remember it's at this one school, I remember it's Cal State Northridge. And the professor, they invite us there to give these talks, and usually it's all fine. But I didn't realize in this talk, apparently I struck a sensitive nerve. It was a philosophy class. And I'd said something about Mayavad and Mayavadis, and you know. And so at the end, the class is finished, and I would stand there and have some books, some students come up who are interested or whatever. And the professor, he's kind of pacing and hovering, you know, because I said something about thinking, you know, if you take humanism to its ultimate conclusion, it's that you're God, you're the absolute center of everything, and everything's merit will be judged upon whether or not it pleases you or displeases you. That'll be the criterion. That's the criteria of humanism. By extension, human beings, but more specifically, you. Welcome to the social network. But anyway, I'd said something along these lines, and so he's hovering while I'm and then he walks behind me, and because I'm telling you, and he says in my ear, he goes, I said it was the worst type of illusion. And so he goes, when you realize you're God, there is no more illusion. And then he like ran, and we go, come back. And he said, when you realize you're God, there is no more illusion. Come back. So hum. Ahang Brahmasmi. That's what they mean when they say, I am that. That great Brahma, that spirit that's pervading everything, I'm that. You're that, and I'm that. I'm saying, if I'm that, then who are you? As Guru Maharaj said then, about Shankara, said, Brahma, Satya, Jagan, Mitya. Then if everything is illusion, who are you talking to? Who have you come to preach to? And convert to what? So Anyway, that so Guru Maharaj, as the Saragrahi Vaishnava extracting the essence, he told him, with two slokas, that's the proof of Saragrahi-ness. Right? With two slokas, he irrefutably establishes his position. First one from the mouth of Krishna. If someone is, a follower of the Bhagavad, then certainly they'll have to accept Krishna's authority, right? And Krishna says, na tata priyatama atma yonir na shankara na cha sankarshana na sri naiva atma chayata bhavan. So there is no one more dear to me than Uddhava. He said, priya uttama. So the word uttama, he said, that means here, highest, dearest, no one more dear to me. Not Atmabhu, Brahma, born from the navel of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Not Atma Yonir, Nashankara, Shiva. Nacha Sankarshan, means Sankarshan or Balaram, even his brother. Sri Lakshmi Devi. And then Naivatma Chayatabhavan. I'm not as dear to myself as Uddhava is dear to me. So in one sloka, he's established the position of Uddhava. And it's that Uddhava who's telling Gopakumar to dive deeper into reality. And then from the mouth of Uddhava, so this is Guru Maharaj's strategy. Krishna certifies Uddhava. Who does Uddhava certify? Asamaho. Charanarenu jishamahangshang brindavane kim api govan latosadinam yaddushtidam swajanam arjapatam chihidva bejur mukunda parivim shruti bir vimrigyam. He says, remember, Krishna sent him as a messenger to deliver. Krishna's in Mathura Dwaraka. The Brajagopis are feeling intense separation from him. What type? You say, atati yadbhavan anikananam tutiryu gayate tomapashyatam kutila kuntalam srimukamjate yada udikshitam papmakriddusham. That they're these silly, half-civilized jungle girls, they're cursing Brahma, the creator. Why? They're saying, he doesn't know how to make eyes. We're looking at the inconceivable beauty of Krishna, young Shyama Sundarama Chantraguna Swarupam, and then our eyes blink. And for that moment, we're deprived of seeing the beauty of Krishna. Some may think, what is that? I mean, it's just the blink of an eye. What it's revealing to us, the kind of intensity that's in their heart. They're cursed, they're girls, teenage girls, cursing Brahma for making eyes that blink. What we take away from them, how intense they are, how intense are the feelings in their heart that they can say that. And we're told, Rasa Leela, Brahma Ratri, a night of Brahma. That means 4,300,000,000 years. Right? And they're saying, as Gurudev liked to quote this sloka about Shamanam from, what is it? Chandidas or Vidyapati, it's in religion of the heart, that no amount of seeing Krishna will ever satisfy you. And I think, is that a good thing? That sounds disappointing. No, you'll be left hankering for more. As Krishna looks more and more inconceivably beautiful and charming, after 4,300,000,000 years, they're saying, that Rasa Leela that lasted so long was like the blink of an eye. This telling us the intensity of union. But as if that wasn't enough, then to say, but the blink of an eye separation from Krishna is like a yuga, trutir yugayate, in the end verse. So it's even more intense. So Krishna, they're feeling that sort of separation, and he's the cause of all of this too. That's something that is sometimes hard to digest. That why does he do this? And even they're asking him, why does he do it? Sometimes he's asking himself, why does he do this? But it's because Bhavagrahi Janardana, he's a bhav consumer. He's a heart consumer. What the heart produces, that's his food. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. It's very simple things. When they're given with heart, and Guru says, I receive them with heart. The heart-to-heart transaction. So not only does he want what's in their hearts, what we know, what does the heart produce? Love, affection. It's what's the really the driving principle of existence, right? The pursuit of love and affection. But he knows that when love and affection are put under the most intense pressure of separation, that's when the heart yields the most superior substance, the most superior type of love. And that's the kind of love that he is most addicted to. And that can only be achieved by apparently separating himself from them. But knowing that they're in this condition, he sends Uddhava as a messenger to give some message that so that they won't give up hope, to relieve the anguish of separation that's in their heart. He goes with the letter. And we're told when Uddhava arrives, and it's a significant point that Guru Maharaj used in another context, that he, because he's doing everything properly, he first visits Nanda and Yashoda. Really, I mean, for many, but he's got the special message for the gopis, but first must go to the house, Nanda Bhavan, Nanda Yashoda. And while giving them the news of Krishna, the Braja gopis see the empty chariot outside of the house, and they start cursing it. It makes them angry, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur said. That's their response to seeing this chariot. And they're thinking, because they remember when Akrura came on a chariot and took Krishna away from Vrindavan. The Brajagopis are not a fan of Akrura, right? His name is supposed to be not cruel, but they interpret it as no one's been more cruel. There's no one more cruel. It can also mean that. And even the name sounds like it, Akrura. So seeing this chariot, they're infuriated. And they think, what? It wasn't enough for Kamsa to take away, you know, our life. But now he sent his agent to collect, because deprived of our lives, what, we're just carcasses? He sent his agent to collect our rotting carcasses to take them back to Mathura for some sort of funeral pyre ceremony. They're very disturbed. But when Uddhava comes out, they see, we're told Uddhava, he looks similar to Krishna, and Krishna gives his clothes to Uddhava. That famous verse that talks about honoring the remnants, you know, prasadam, but also mentions clothing. Uddhava gets clothing from Krishna. So when they see him, he looks so much like Krishna that they're giddy. They become really happy. And they think, who is this person? Just by looking at him, you remember Krishna. And then they get to know him, and he presents his letter, the letter from Krishna, where Krishna is saying, you should all learn yoga and how to meditate on God. So when you're feeling like this, you start doing yoga and meditating. You understand God's everywhere and everything. And you'll feel something. And this makes them angry. Vrajagopis are not big on yoga. I say that to tease all the yoga folks. They're telling her, we're not yogis, we're gopis. We're not gyanis, we're not yogis, we're not karmis, gyanis, or yogis. We're gopis. You know who we are. And you know our hearts also. So why are you teasing us and with all of that? We should become yogis and start learning how to meditate. God's everywhere and everything. Or gyani, maybe we should study. So this, when Uddhava sees their reaction, saying, what sort of affection lies within the heart of the Vrajagopis, their hearts? And meanwhile, while he's doing that, Radharani is lost in divine madness, which is represented as the Brahmar Gita. We know the big black bumblebee with the yellow rings and the pollen on his whiskers comes, and she takes him to be either a messenger from Krishna or Krishna. And she's in her mon, loving anger, chastising this bumblebee like anything. Right? And that we can't speak about. We're not qualified. But Guru Maharaj could speak about it. And Balaji Maharaj and Ban Maharaj said, oh, this is your specialty. And they considered it a great honor, a great opportunity to hear him. But one we can say is given as Yadanu Charita Lila Karna Piyusha Viprut Sadkrid Advana Viduta Dandva Dharma Vinashta Sapadi Griha Kutumdam Dinamutrija Bahuha Bihanga Bhikkhu Charjam Charanti. Where she's saying, when you hear a drop of the nectar of the pastimes of Krishna, that in as you're here and touches your heart, he's saying, you're finished. You're ruined. It's all double entendre. What she's really saying, material existence is finished. This is that substance upon touching the heart that will put an end to your material existence. It's consistent elsewhere with what the Vrajagopis say. In the Gopi Gita, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kaviriditam Kalmashapaham. It's in the topics of you put an end to the suffering of material. Because it puts all suffering is due to forgetfulness of Krishna, or by extension, separation from Krishna. So they're not telling us something that's not applicable to our situation. They're saying, when you're separated from Krishna, this is the life-saving nectar. I said, no, that's so high. Those are the Vrajagopis. They feel all this. But they're sending a message to us. You're also, really the root cause of your problem is you're separated from Krishna. Our hearts feel that sort of pain, and it's the most edifying thing. If you can become aware of what is the root cause of your present position, then you can take the cure, which is hearing about him, particularly from his agents. Anyway, so there in the guise of chastising Krishna, so many things are being revealed. And as Guru Maharaj told, the heart in this context, like a vault, impenetrable. But he said, like the thieves, they put a drop of that acid where the tumblers are, and then we see, and then the door swings open, and the treasure is accessible. You see? So a drop of this substance on the heart has miraculous transformative power that the heart opens and releases its most valuable treasure. And that's only partially of what is expressed there. So we can imagine the full expression of hers. Still, when Uddhava sees the type of dedication, love and affection, devotion in the hearts of the Brajagopis and Srimati Radharani, he's thinking, really, he wants the dust from their holy lotus feet. That means, besides, in a literal way, because the whole place is Chinmoy, it's spiritually conscious. That has to be factored in. If Vaikuntir Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy, if even the soil of the spiritual world is Chinmoy, spiritually conscious substance enriched with the highest sort of dedicating tendency, then when an aspiration like this is expressed, it has to be understood. And what it means is he's offering the least aspect of himself, he's offering the highest aspect of himself to their least aspect as being superior. And he says, Asamaho charanarenu jisham ahangshang brindavane kimapi gomalatosadinam yaddushtajam swajanam arjapatam chahitva bejur mukunda parivim srutibir brahmigyam. Saying, he knows, Vishwanath, that he knows better than to ask them because they won't give. So he's couching his aspiration this way. I want atomic presence in that plane. Mahaprabhu says, and Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Petitamam Vishame Bhuvam Bhutho Kripaya Tavapada Pankajastita Duli Sadrisham Vichintaya. To be an atom at the lotus feet of the Lord, that's the first realistic aspiration, not to voyeuristically envision oneself as a super servitor. That's a fantasy. Right? The substantial, as expressed by Mahaprabhu, here by Uddhava, an atomic presence in that plane. He said, as a blade of grass, a creeper, so when those Brajagopis and Radharani and her group, they're moving there in the plane of service, some of the dust from their holy lotus feet will come upon my head, thereby consecrating my existence. So ostensibly, he's sent as a messenger, and he does deliver a message. But Krishna wanted him to observe the highest type of devotion. So when Narada, as we told, Indraloka to Brahmaloka, Shivaloka, Vaikuntha, and also Dwaraka, from Shiva to Prahlad to Hanuman to the Pandavas, the Pandavas point him toward the Yadavas and the assembly of the Yadavas, where they're all waiting. And that assembly, what is it? The Sudharma assembly, where every day Krishna comes. But today he's late. And their eyes are riveted to the doorway where Krishna will walk through. Right? We have some experience of that in this world too. Like everyone's waiting. Sometimes Krishna, Naravara, you can say it's rendered as dramatic actor, but it means like movie star. Also, that type of magnetism and where people perceive their every movement is perfect and they always have the best smile, they're dressed beautifully, their entourage, people are waiting for them. So if that can be experienced here, then what to speak of the door through which Krishna is going to enter. Someone asks, what is meditation? That if you can look at a door, you can look at a doorway and anticipate Krishna coming through the door, that is a very good meditation. And so their attention is riveted like that. And Narada is praising them. They're like, yeah, yeah, right, right. And they're saying, look, we're all here, right? Who's on the other side of the door where Krishna is? Uddhava. So you're praising Yadavas, but Uddhava's not here. He's on the other side of that door. We're over here. And that way, it's bringing us to the point of Uddhava and Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Then this expression comes from him, establishing the supremacy of Radharani and Brajagopis. Then what is part two? Another type, similar story, but with Gopakumar, and called the Goloka Mahatmya, that culminates in the same verse from the lips of Uddhava, that expression. And then it goes on from the how, what's the blades of grass, then the trees, the birds, a gradation of all the servitors in Goloka, again culminating and ultimately in the Radha Dasyam, Radha Dasyechava, Sanatan Goswami said in the beginning of the book. Radha Dasyam, the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So in two slokas, Guru Maharaj established the Brajagopis and their leader Radharani as the highest devotees. But that Gopakumar, so that Uddhava told him, you are meant for another place, that plane. Whereas Guru Maharaj told us, everything is made out of sugar or sweetness. Like we know at on holidays, sometimes they make some sweets in the shape of trees or flowers or other things. The whole thing is sweet. And that's what he's telling us. Goloka Vrindavan and that plane, it's permeated by Madhura Rasa, of which the other rasas are satellites or clients, but it's permeated by this sweetness. So, but interestingly, when Gopakumar arrives, you know, his first day, so to speak, in the spiritual world, it's he's searching for the house of Nanda Maharaj. And when he asks people there, they like, oh, you know, like, don't say that. You know, they're ignoring him. It seems to be evoking some sort of angry disposition from them. And some are statue-like, unmoving, unresponsive. And he's thinking, having just been through all the different worlds possible, that either one of two things, either these are the most miserable people that I've ever met or ever seen. I've never seen this level of misery expressed by anyone. Or they're experiencing something internally that is so extraordinary, but yet is being expressed outwardly in this way. And what he comes to realize is this is just a typical day in Vrindavan. And what the calamity is that Krishna has gone to the forest with Balaram and the cowherd boys herding the cows. They're feeling separation from Krishna. I'm told when he gets ready to go and leave home, Mother Yasoda, it happens so many times that she lets go, calls him back, lets him go, grabs him, brings him back, lets him, it keeps, you know, till finally somehow he's able to make it away from Nanda Bhavan into the depths of the Vrindavan forest. So it's Bahi Vishajalahoi Bitare Anandamoy Krishna Premier Adbhuta Charit. Externally, it appears as though they're suffering, like they've been snake bite, poisoned. Internally, they're relishing some extraordinary, peculiar sweetness, nectarine substance. And But he sees, not unlike those Yadavas looking in that doorway, they're all, there's a dust cloud approaching, and they're all looking that way. And gradually, as and what that dust cloud is, it's Gauraja. Like the dust from the hooves of the cows. Right? And Gurudev was joking, and Govardhan, his devotees were coughing severely there because of the dust. And he said, "But you were praying for this dust." And he said, "And now it has come." And everyone's going, he said, "But you prayed." But anyway, and we're told that as the cloud of dust is moving toward them, there's the sound of the hooves of all the calves, and then gradually they start hearing the flutes of Krishna and the cowherd boys and other music and their songs, and then some shapes start to emerge. And then you see there's Krishna and Balaram, and they're all singing and dancing. And Krishna is covered with that dust, and his hair is messed up from all the cowherding. And Gauraj, he's saying, he looks so beautiful then, he described it as agreeable negligence. Because after, you know, the hard day of herding cows in the Vrindavan forest, but as they're coming, then you start seeing the shapes and everyone's coming back to life from the death-like stage of separation they've been experiencing. And then Krishna sees Gopakumar. And Krishna starts running, Gopakumar starts running, and they run and they find each other, they meet each other, and they embrace. Right? And that's when Krishna says, "How could you, live without me for so long?" And then Krishna faints. He's so overwhelmed. And then, it's his first day, you can say, just for a matter of speaking, in the spiritual world. Now, everything was going great, it's perfect. And now Krishna faints. And now the group, everyone's angry at him. And they're thinking, who is this? Maybe it's some sort of demon in disguise. Because they're familiar, intimately familiar with Krishna's pastimes. And, but Balaram knows everything, is an understatement. And gradually, Krishna comes back to Krishna consciousness, and sees Gopakumar and expresses his heart and love and affection, and they go to Nanda Bhavan for bathing and dinner. And we're told that that meal, and his group is the Radharani's family line, although he's cowherd boy. And he's so happy to be in there. He sees Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, Balaram, Radharani and Braja Gopi. It's such a happy scene. Mother Yashoda, and even Chandravali's group is there. And now they're starting to feed Krishna. And Radharani gives one of her specialty, a particular type of laddu, and Krishna takes that, and he tastes it, and he goes, "Ooh, so bitter." And he says, "Maybe your family, they like this kind of thing." He tosses it over to Gopakumar, and Mother Yashoda, she's looking at Radharani, giving her a look. And Chandravali's group, they're all happy. Yes. And then Gopakumar, he takes that laddu tossed over by Krishna, and he tastes it. And it's the most wonderful thing he's ever tasted in all time and space, all experience. And Krishna's smiling, he was just joking. Then Radharani and Mother said, they're all happy, Chandravali's group, their son. So Guru Maharaj told them we had made search for Sri Krishna reality to beautiful, Sri Guru and his grace, golden volcano of divine love. It's time to make another book. And Guru Maharaj said, in the first book, you're showing how the devotees are searching for Krishna, reality the beautiful. And incidentally, it culminates with Krishna as Mahaprabhu searching for Sri Krishna. There, it's structured, it's thematic. And with Guru Maharaj's sloka, he said the all-conquering conclusion, Atma, Lila Savasiddha, Purna Loksha, Purna Sokya Lakshanam. He said, so we showed that in the volume one, in the first book. He said, now we shall show that as the devotees are searching for Krishna, Krishna's also searching for his devotees. He said, but it is a loving search. A loving search. The Lord's loving search for his lost servant. It's a loving search for the lost servant. And that's why it begins with the tale of Gopakumar, which is perfectly presented by Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, how the gradations of what dive deep into reality means and in its highest expression. Is there some question?
Maybe not related to the subject.
All right. Somehow I think it will be. There's only one thing, but it's in variegated position. Vedanti tat tatvavidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabyate. As I told, Einstein's mistress told him, she said, you should carry a notebook. She noticed he didn't like carry a pen, you know, thing around, like, you should carry a notebook and put all your ideas in there. And he said, I don't need a notebook. I only have one idea. And I'm always thinking about that one idea. And so it's like the theory of everything. Yasmin vigyate sarvam eva vigyatam bhavati. The Upanishads say, try to know the one thing upon knowing which everything is known. Try to acquire that one thing upon acquiring everything is got. That's samadhi in Bhagavad Gita. Yam labdva. Labdva means yam labdva chapram labham manyate nadikam tataha. And saying, and when you've got that, nothing. I've got everything. There's nothing more than this. Rupam, Drisham, Drishimatam, Akilarta Labam, Rukmini says the same thing. When I've got you, I've got everything. Srutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Srinvatam Te. When I heard about you, the impression I got that came to my heart, you're the most beautiful thing in the world, beyond the world. But like that, Bhuvana Sundar, Srinvatam. And she said, then I understood why there is hearing. And now she's getting to the point. Really, this is what it's meant for, to hear about you. And when through hearing, the form, the conception of the form of your beauty came to me, then I understood why there's such a thing as sight or seeing. I like to look at the etymology of words and just definitions. I remind everyone, although I'm ostensibly a native English speaker, I consult an English dictionary no less than 10 times a day, looking at words that some I know generally what they mean. I'm looking to see, am I using them with accurately, precisely? You know, Mark Twain of, you know, Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer fame, the difference between an acceptable word and the precise word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. So it's in our interest, whatever our tongue, to look at words and to use them precisely. So that when it comes to aesthetics, right, and the nearest Russian speaker, what is it, aesthetico? What is it in Russian? There you go. Very, almost identical. But what it says, I mean, we say, oh, that means the beauty or the study of beauty, the culture of beauty. Right? Yes. But the word saying, its original meaning was, what is perceived by the senses? It means sense perception, actually. So the case I'm making is that the ultimate goal or object of sense perception is the perception of reality, the beautiful, of the ultimate beauty, the ultimate sound, the ultimate taste, the most beautiful sound, beautiful taste. That's what aesthetic is, that culture. And that's what she's saying. So now I understand. It's not just, you know, in our spare time, we're looking for beautiful things, right? Or we like to hear beautiful sounds or touch something that is beautiful and soft, or taste something that is extraordinary. But actually, this is what's driving us. It's what's driving our existence. And Krishna is all of those things. That means Akila Rasamrita Murti, all of that rolled into one, who's the incomparably beautiful. The sound of the name is incomparably beautiful. The sound of the flute, the taste, touch, form, the beauty of the form, and then the movement of the form, all of these things. That's why we have senses. Of course, there's an option. reign in hell or serve in heaven, the old Miltonian satanic option. You know? But she's saying very beautifully in her, and this is the opposite of a ransom note. Normally, when there's a kidnapping, the kidnappers send a note to someone saying, we've got her, send us money right now, you know, by the end of the day. But this is very beautiful because Rukmini is writing the note to Krishna, inviting him to kidnap her. So she's saying, I am inextricably surrounded by karmic circumstances, but actually I'm not meant for karma. I'm meant for you. Come and take what is yours, namely me. As Guru said, it's not just me saying, everything's meant for Krishna, you know, including us. And so she's saying, I'm surrounded by these karmic circumstances. Really, I'm meant for you. Come and not rescue me, kidnap me. Right? It's like being kidnapped by Krishna conception. So she's saying, this is what this is all for. This is what aesthetic culture is. So what is that question that may or not be relevant?
I'll try to improvise. The story of Gopakumar is a Nitya Lila, right?
Yes.
And shall we consider Gopakumar as a Jiva soul or one of the manifestation of Krishna himself?
Well, and we can say this much, because this is being presented for our edification, so we can take it that he represents our potential and our position. Right? But with regard to Nitya Lila, Nitya Buddha, Nitya Siddha, so many considerations, Srila Prabhupada, he was invited to attend a conference in Japan, actually before he went to America. It's pretty interesting, and he was going to attend. And he was thinking, but what would be right for like the Asian mind? And you know, like, so he thought this one chapter in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, which in his book is called the Autumn chapter, but I forget the number, but it's all these descriptions of autumn, like clouds and lightning in the clouds, and it appears on the surface, you know, in conventional devotee jargon as impersonal. Right? It's clouds, the moon shine, the moon covered by the clouds, shining through the clouds, lightning, rain, and you know, it's similar to, you know, some stereotypical Asian art imagery. So he took this, and then he gave purports. I mean, there are acharya purports to those slokas, and he gives this beautiful commentary. And in one place, he addresses the issue of Nitya Buddha and Nitya Siddha. And he gives this example. He says that when the sky is cloudy, you can distinguish between the clouded portion of the sky and the unclouded portion of the sky, right? We see there are the clouds here, like I saw today when I went for a walk, because here it was like cloudy, went down the road, sun was shining and was not cloudy. It's a different situation. So he's saying, so when a soul is under the influence of illusion, described as Nitya Buddha, eternally conditioned, you can distinguish eternally conditioned soul, eternally liberated soul. He said, but just like that sky, when you remove the clouds from the sky, you can't distinguish between that part of the sky which was once covered and the part which was never covered. He said, so similarly, when the clouds of ignorance are removed from the jiva soul, you can no longer distinguish between a soul who was once conditioned and eternally liberated. That said, someone like Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he can give an analysis of gopis who are responding to the flute call of Krishna, and these have recently achieved this position. These were in he can do that. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur can do that type of analysis. That's a loud one. So, and once when I was asking Guru Maharaj some questions a little bit like this, similar to this, he said, be careful. He said, you're going to break your head. And he said, and he leaned for, pulled at his palms. He said, we want the grace of these souls. He said, so we should be careful in our analysis about who was like this, who was like that. Sometimes something is said, again, with folded palms, bowed head, rarely, tatastavichar, impartial analysis. He said, but we don't ever want to even remotely think offensively of them because we want to be in a position to receive their grace. So I kind of jumped back, being cautioned by him. So, because he said, and not that what you said is like this, but just for the sake of a general discussion, he's saying, analysis is a function of intelligence, but analysis creates doubt, and doubt disturbs faith, and faith is our only access to this. It's not data transfer, information, gyan even, but faith, sraddha mayoyam loka. So I'll give you another example. In one place, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur is saying, he makes some comparison about Devaki and Yashoda. He's saying Devaki, Krishna's born to her, right? But then we can say, but Krishna of Mathura, Guru Maharaj said, is like Baladev in terms of the 50, 55, 60, 64, 62, 64 quality analysis. So that Mathura Krishna, that's not Nanda Nandan, Devaki Nandan. Although Saraswati Thakur says in another place, Devaki is another name of Yashoda. But Yashoda means also Yashasha, fame. She's making others renowned. And so Devaki, anyway, she's Krishna's mother in Mathura. As a baby, we can say, he gets to suck her breast milk and then he's whisked away to Goloka, Gokula. But, you know, Yashodava Mahabhaga Papo Yasya Stanamhari. When we praise Nanda Maharaj, saying, what did Nanda Maharaj do? He's got the Param Brahma crawling on all fours in his courtyard. But that Param Brahma, Yashodava Mahabhaga, her fortune is even greater. That Param Brahma is crawling on her, not just in the courtyard, on her divine form, sitting on her lap and sucking her breast milk. They're saying, she's even more fortunate, if it could be said, and only they can say in that way, by first praising Nanda Maharaj, and then he won't mind if we say Yashoda's even more fortunate. Nanda Maharaj may be the first one to give jai to that, but even more fortunate. But Vishnu is saying, so you can understand something here between the comparative position of Yashoda and Devaki. And then he just stops and said, I can't say any more about this. He says, it's impossible to say any more about this. As if to say to us, you're going to break your head. Just little something came out of some particular necessity at a time, and that's enough. We want to receive the grace of these exalted souls. When Guru Maharaj heard that some devotees hearing him sometimes engage in some sort of, you know, rasa vishesh, rasa vichar analysis, and then because of always promoting, you know, the supremacy and the of Madhura Rasa, is the Adi Rasa, the Mukhya Rasa, the original, the principle. They were decrying the others, Vatsalya, etc. And when news came back to Guru Maharaj and that it was being done in his name, he said, my heart is mortified to hear these things. And he said, what do they think this is? And then he said, Srimati Radharani, her first duty upon awaking every morning is to go to Nanda Bhavan and knock on the door and fall at the feet of Mother Yashoda, thinking, you know, without Mother Yashoda, there's no Krishna. So the supreme, highest of Madhura Rasa, what is she's bowing to the feet of Yashoda, Ma Yashoda, every morning. So it's told, Jarje Rase Hoy Se Sarvotam, that whatever one is experiencing, they'll think, what could be better than this? Right? An intimate, loving relationship with the Infinite Supreme Lord, Rasaraj Krishna. But, and that's given in Ramananda Sambhad. But the next line says, Tatastavichar. But by an impartial analysis, one will conclude that Madhura Rasa is the sweetest, and also it includes the sentiments of all the others. As Dasya includes Shanta, Sakya includes Shanta and Dasya, Vatsalya includes Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Madhura Rasa includes all of them. So Mukya Rasa, Adi Rasa, the principle. But that same Raghupati Upadhyay, who at the, behest of Mahaprabhu, went having just glorified Nanda Maharaj, Ahangiha Nandam Bandeya Shalande Param Brahma, and it's saying, Mahaprabhu saying, any more you can say to that, then he's, kam pratikatai tamise, some, no, that was the verse. Any more you can say in that? And he's saying about the Braja Gopis, Gopa Viduti Vitang Brahma. Yes, that one, that's it. Kam pratikatai tamise. Saying, who can I tell? And if you could find someone qualified, would they believe me? See, first, you say, notice how we're talking about Rupa Goswami leaping from Vaikuntha to Mathura, Raghupati Upadhyay saying, what's described in the Mahabharata, other Vedic literature, all of that, Bharatam, you know. And what does he say? He immediately goes from there and like how to deal with the miseries of material existence. That's Bhavabhita. Those who are fearful about mortality, how to deal. He leaps from there to the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj and saying, look at this, Param Brahma crawling in his courtyard. What did he do? Whatever these other books are talking about, okay, but what did he do? That Param Brahma, they're telling you how to go to he's got the Param Brahma crawling in his courtyard. And then as I told, Yashoda, he's crawling on Yashoda. So Mahaprabhu likened it saying, tell me more. Is there more? Dive deep into reality. Go deeper. And he's saying, there's more, but who's qualified to hear it? And if I told it, no one would believe me. That's why I don't say it, because no one would believe it. What is that? That Param Brahma, well, when he goes from Kumar to Kishore, when he becomes Gopa Kishore, and he's the Navayovana teenager, that he, now what is he doing? He's chasing in the Kunja of Vrindavan, the Braja Gopis. The Param Brahma is chasing after those Braja Gopi girls. Who could I tell this to? And who would believe it? This is inconceivable. And Guru Maharaj said in his article for Gaudiya Math publication that the implication is that, but now that you've come, Gaura Hari, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, everyone will be told and they will believe it. You will distribute this, which is inaccessible to the highest section of liberated souls, and even within that group, limited. Now you're going to distribute that highest thing that's inconceivable and unbelievable. By your grace, it'll be distributed to everyone. Guru Maharaj said, that is the implication of what is being said by Raghupati Upadhyay. But then Mahaprabhu said, then you tell me what in your opinion is the ultimate abode. Oh, no, the supreme form of the Lord, the supreme abode of the Lord, the supreme aids of the Lord, and the supreme rasa. Mahaprabhu is asking him to say that. This is not curiosity. Mahaprabhu descended that this would be broadcast. But it only can be fully appreciated if the other things are meaningful. To think upon hearing this conclusion, to dismiss all the other things is inappropriate and offensive and disqualifying. It's by appreciating them that, and gradation, that one could be come to appreciate what would be the culmination of all of that. But not only is it the culmination, it's actually the source, lest we think it's some sort of cumulative thing. That's one way of looking at it. But really, Vishwanath is telling us, Janmadhyasyataha, it's the source of all of these others. So in any way you look at this, you have to value what's emanated from there also. Madhura, Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, Shanta, they emanate from Madhura Rasa as well. So to appreciate Madhura Rasa, there must be appreciation for all of them. But it is Mahaprabhu who's asking him this. And in a sense, causing these things to be spoken. He wants it to be broadcast. He's saying, tell me these four things. What's the supreme form of the Lord? Shama eva param rupam. Shama sundar. Brahma sanyata. Yag shama sundaram achanta guna swarupam. Right. Shama eva param rupam. Puri madupuri bara. Mathura means Madhupuri, but look what it says, Madhupuri. It's saying, you know, the sweet city, the city of sweetness, the domain of sweetness. That means by extension, Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakunda. Madhu, back to Madhura. Puri, Madhupuri, Vara. Kishoram, Kishore, that's the supreme age of Krishna. As the Kumara Poganda, he's playing with Nanda and Yasoda in their house, Nanda Kumar, then with the cowherd boys, then Kishore with the Braja Gopis. It's the culmination. So I'm saying, his Madhura Rasa pastimes, that's the ultimate expression of the ultimate sweetness and beauty. And Adi Rasa, Mukhya Rasa, Adi Rasa, Puro Rasa. And Madhura Rasa, that's the supreme rasa. Mahaprabhu came to broadcast these things to the world. Jari gorna hoita tabiki hoita kemori daritam dehe radhar mahima prema rasasima jagata janatake. And Guru Maharaj says, shamalila avalambam. It's interesting. Shamalila means Madhura Rasa. And he's saying, and it's alambam. It's all dependent upon her. Then we can understand by extension, everything is dependent upon her. The whole spiritual devotional world is dependent upon her. So Mahaprabhu is descending this world to Radhar Mahima, to preach the greatness of Srimati Radharani. And prema rasa sima, that and broadcast her incomparable love for Krishna, Mahabhav Srupini, Radha Thakurani, and Krishna prema in its highest expression. Hare Krishna.